Človeštvo neskončen.
Od filozofije preko kvantne mehanike do mehanike, do gradbeništva in vse vmes. Elektrika.
No, no, I don't want to go on listening to this. This can't be scientific. This can't be scientific.
What science can do, will do.
ZOFA. Novice iz sveta znanosti.
Znanstvenice na ZOFI. Nemško ministrstvo za znanost je 17. marca objavilo dokument o načrtovani spremembi zakona o začasnih znanstvenih pogodbah. Namen spremembe zakona je spodbujati stalna delovna mesta raziskovalcev in raziskovalk po končanem triletnem in ne več šestletnem obdobju raziskovalnega dela v znanstvenih institucijah in industriji. S tem naj bi po mnenju ministrstva prisilili zaposlovalce k čim prejšnjim rednim zaposlitvam raziskovalk in raziskovalcev. Sprememba zakona, ki je predvidevala prepolovitev najdaljše možne pogodbe začasne zaposlitve raziskovalk in raziskovalcev po doktoratu z 6 let na 3, je naletela na odpor pri znanstveno-raziskovalni skupnosti, profesoricah, raziskovalkah in doktorskih študentih. Ti so z izvedenim protestom v Berlinu, burno razpravo na družbenih omrežjih in več odprtimi pismi ustavili nadaljno obravnavo, kar je 19. marca sporočila Sabine Dohring, državna sekretarka Zveznega ministrstva za šolstvo in raziskave. Kako je potekal protest za boljše delovne pogoje v znanosti 24. marca pred ministrstvom v Berlinu, pove raziskovalka z Inštituta za socialno antropologijo Brita Ohm, članica organizacije Network for Decent Labor in Akademija ter organizatorka protesta.
On the 17th, the ministry issued the suggestions, which was only suggestions, it was not yet even a bill. It was only first, there was not even a bill, let alone an act. It was only the suggestions of where to go. And that created this uproar immediately. And we kind of tried to channel that. And within a week, we managed to get, I mean, it was only, I don't know, maybe 1,000, maybe a little less in front of the ministry, which is already a lot for us. And the unions that do exist, they're mostly responsible for teachers. I mean, not for university teachers or university scholars, but they helped us immediately. I mean, everybody suddenly worked together and provided buses. I mean, they brought people from Leipzig, from Dresden, from Kassel, from Göttingen. There were some from North Rhine-Westphalia. So, I mean, people were coming to Berlin. And they very suddenly made time, and we organized everything on the ground in Berlin very quickly.
Leta 2007 je Nemčija z aktom o začasnih znanstvenih pogodbah začela s prvimi koraki k reformi sistema zaposlovanja, katere namen naj bi bil zmanjšati število prekarnih zaposlitev. Zakon je omejil zaposlovanje znanstvenikov na pogodbah za določen čas na 6 let, po doktoratu pa še 6 let na poti do profesorstva. Še vedno je na začasnih pogodbah več kot 90% raziskovalk in raziskovalcev. Več o problematičnosti obstoječe zakonodaje in predlagane spremembe pove Brita Ohm.
I love this, how you immediately ask whether the unions were involved. We don't have unions that are able to negotiate our working rights. We have, with this law has been in place since 2007. It's called the Temporary Employment in Higher Education Act, which describes a special entitlement to restrict positions in universities. For temporary positions in universities, you can be employed 6 years during your PhD and 6 years after your PhD. And if you haven't made it onto a permanent position by then, you're out. Because the idea was actually that the universities, when they know they can only give temporary contracts to people for 6 years, then they would implement permanent positions. But of course they haven't done that. On the contrary, they're just, you know, it's becoming a permanent turnover of cheap labor, basically. And now they have, and part of this law has been from the beginning that we don't have any rights to negotiate the labor conditions, because the law itself is limiting them. So we are not, and we don't have strong unions at all. We have tried to, with our organization and other organizations, we're now starting a bottom-up movement for the negotiations of rights.
Spremembi zakona nasprotujejo tudi profesori in profesorice. Kaj bi pomenilo skrajšanje po doktorskega raziskovalnega obdobja, pojasni predsednik največjega združenja za biokemijo in molekularno biologijo v Nemčiji, prvo podpisnik izjave 1500 profesorjev, s podporo več kot 45 tisoč članov in članic raziskovalnih in znanstvenih institucij, profesor Volker Haug z Inštituta za farmacijo Svobodne univerze v Berlinu.
Now in this amendment, what was changed now was in fact the time frame that is allowed until you have to get a permanent contract or you're out of the system. So what the new amendment said, you've got 6 years until your PhD, which is fairly long and fine, but then only 3 years post PhD. And then either an institution would have to give you a permanent contract or you're out of the system. Now, we work in the life and natural sciences, and essentially nobody that I know worldwide ever was able to acquire a permanent job as a scientist in an academic institution after only 3 years of postdoc. So effectively, what the law will trigger is people that are hired on 3-year contracts and then they're fired without a scientific publication.
Haug predstavi problematičnost trenutne situacije pri zaposlovanju raziskovalk in raziskovalcev v naravoslovnih znanostih.
Typically, we educate about 10 times more PhD students than academic science, than permanent academic science jobs there are. So there is a strong competition at the end of the day towards the permanent academic job market at the level of professors or staff scientists. In fact, we have very few staff scientists, and we have essentially no lecturer positions in Germany. This is also something that I think ought to be changed. In reality, you have far too few permanent jobs, and the choice for an institution then either is, I fire all these people and I hire a new cohort of postdocs for another 3 years, or I make some of them permanent, which would mean that essentially all the academic system would be frozen within one generation and no future postdocs would ever be hired in the next 15 years to come.
Kot pravi Brita Om, po današnjem srečanju s predstavniki ministrstva, na katerem je kot predstavnica organizacije predlagala dolgoročne rešitve, do končnega dogovora o spremembi zakona še ni bilo.
We have made suggestions before, our organization has also re-evaluated this law. We have done our own research, we've done our own studies, survey, interviews and so on and so forth. We have inserted that into the discussion, but nobody was expecting this. We would propose that we have a minimum duration of a contract rather than a maximum form of temporary labor. So far you can be so and so long, you can be, as I said, employed temporarily, but we want, I mean, it's a question of who has got the rights, you know. In this case, the university and the institutions and the system has got the rights over us. We want the rights, and we want the right to have a minimum duration of contract, which you can also claim. And after that, a reliable discussion about the options of staying in the system.
H. Hauk vidi rešitev v daljšem obdobju raziskovanja po končanem doktoratu.
It's a bad idea to limit the phase of the postdoc to a period that is completely unreasonable. As a scientist, I think two things should change, and those would be in line with what other countries in Europe and elsewhere do. Have a decent phase for a postdoc, and I think a decent phase for a postdoc is something on the order of 6 years. This would allow you to get top-level publications and to qualify yourself, and then establish a tenure-track system, which also doesn't exist in Germany. And these would be positions where you start your own scientific working group. You can work on the topics that you decide to be interesting. You have PhD students and postdocs that work for you. And during this phase, you essentially generate papers of your own that would qualify you for a permanent job. So in a tenure track system, you would have to define specific goals to be reached. And if these goals are achieved, then you will become permanent. If you do not achieve them, then you will have to look for a job outside of academia.
Prejšnji teden je v okviru Združenih narodov v New Yorku po komaj 45 letih od prve konference potekala druga globalna konferenca o vodah, namenjena pregledu delovanja in rezultatov akcije Združenih narodov Voda za trajnostni razvoj za leta med 2018 in 2028. Kaj je bil povod za konferenco, pove predsednik Slovenske organizacije za podzemne vode, geolog profesor Mihael Brenčič z naravno-tehniške fakultete Univerze v Ljubljani.
No in v bistvu gre za to, ne, da so nekak v zadnjih letih ugotovili, čeprav je to znanost že dolgo časa razlagala, da je tisto, kar ljudje zaznavamo kot spremembo klime, pravzaprav povezano z vodo. Ne. Voda je nek vektor, ki povzroči zaradi spremembe klime, da so neke posledice. In te posledice, ki se ugotavlja, da so vedno bolj povezane z ekstremi vodnimi. Ne? Na eni strani so to poplave. Recimo lani so bile katastrofalne poplave v Pakistanu, kjer je 3/4 države bilo pod vodo. Na drugi strani imamo pa v bistvu suše, ne? Ki so v bistvu vedno bolj izrazite. To pa tudi v Sloveniji opažamo. Zakaj gre? Gre za to, da v bistvu ti s spremembo klime, predvsem temperaturo, povzročiš spremembo v vodnem krogu. In v vodnem krogu, ko povzročiš spremembo, preprosto povedano, v njem začne voda hitreje krožiti. In ker začne voda v tem vodnem krogu hitreje krožiti, so tudi efekti tega hitrejšega kroženja vedno hujši. In to je nekako zdaj na ravni globalni ravni zadeva nekako dozorela, da se je ugotovilo, da je to problem. To je en problem. Drug problem je seveda ta, da še zmeraj na globalni ravni ogromno težav z preprostim dostopom do pitne vode. Da te številke, koliko ljudi nima pravega dostopa oziroma zdravega in ustreznega dostopa do pitne vode, se malo razlikuje od dokumenta do dokumenta. Te številke so zelo visoke, ne? In če pogledamo Združeni narodi, so 2015 nekako sprejeli odločitev, da gremo globalno v tako zvano agendo 2030. In v tej agendi 2030 je tudi zaveza, da se pač vsem ljudem na zemlji zagotovi dostop do pitne vode, plus dostop do varne sanitarne ureditve. In zdaj so Združeni narodi zelo preprosto povedano zračunali, da te celi ne bojo doseženi, da je treba to pospešiti. Da je treba v bistvu v to vložiti veliko več energije, kot se vlaga. In ta konferenca je pravzaprav na prešičišču vsega tega, kar sem vam zdaj povedal.
Konference so se udeležili slovenski predstavniki, predsednica Nataša Pirc-Musar, ministrica za zunanje zadeve Tanja Fajon in minister za naravne vire in prostor Uroš Brežan. Ta je izpostavil slovensko pobudo za obnovo vodnih ekosistemov v prvem svetovnem biosfernem območju petih držav, območje UNESCO Mura Drava Donava. Gre za območje, ki se razteza od Avstrije preko Slovenije, Hrvaške in Madžarske do Srbije ter obsega 930 tisoč hektarjev. hektarjev ob 700 km rečnega toka Mure, Drave in Donave, s tem pa je uradno največje rečno biosferno območje v Evropi. Zaenkrat obnovitveno območje ostaja le pobuda. Tridnevni vrh v New Yorku je spodbudil okoli 700 zavez lokalnih in nacionalnih vlad, nevladnih organizacij in nekaterih podjetij k novi akcijski agendi za vodo. Napredek pri izvajanju prostovoljnih zavez pa bodo spremljali na prihodnih srečanjih Združenih narodov. Na pobudo slovenskih delegatov bodo Združeni narodi imenovali posebnega odposlanca za vodo. Kaj je končni izkupiček konference, komentira Brenčič.
Prva stvar, ki je, je to, da ni skupne izjave. To se pravi, običajno imajo te mednarodne konference neke skupne zavezujoče izjave, kar pomeni, da diplomacija v predhodnem pripravljalnem obdobju za to konferenco ni uspela doseči soglasje, kakšna bo skupna izjava. In to kaže na to, ne, da so v bistvu ogledi na to problematiko zelo, zelo različni, ne, da se države v tem v globalnem merilu zelo razlikujejo, kako razumejo vodo, kako jo regulirati in čigava pravzaprav voda je. Ne, tukaj bi lahko šli gledati, bi gotovili, da so tudi znotraj tega bolj razvitega sveta zelo različni pogledi. Skratka, v bistvu dosežek te konference je to, da se je sploh zgodila. Dosežek te konference, naj se slišče še tako čuden. Za nekega bolj radikalnega okoljevarstvenika so seveda to samo neke prazne marnje bile. Ampak jaz mislim, da zelo pomembno je to, da se je proces začel. Da se je začel proces v smislu tega, da se je začel pogovarjati na nivoju tega, da je voda pomembna ne samo v lokalnem smislu, ne, ker vodo vedno zelo lokalno razumemo, ampak da je treba vodo razumeti tudi globalno.
Kaj so vzroki, da se države niso poenotile v skupni izjavi?
Zdaj, kaj je vzrok, da te skupne izjave ni, jih je pravzaprav več? Ne? Eden od vzrokov je gotovo prekomejen problem pri vodah. Ne? Vode ne poznajo meja. In v svetu imate celo vrsto nekih konfliktov, ki izvirajo iz tega razmerja med dolvodno in gorvodno državo. In tu se številne države v resnih sporih, celo obstajajo oboroženi spori zaradi teh problemov. Zato je ravno zaradi takih problemov zelo težko to rešiti. Ne. Zato že iz tega vidika ni tega prekomejnega, ni teh sporazumov oziroma teh skupnih izjav. Drug vidik tega je to, da je do neke mere pojmovanje vode in razumevanje vode zelo različno. Namreč tu moramo razumeti, da pri vodi ne gre samo za pitno vodo, gre za plovne reke, gre za prekomejna telesa.
Pisala je Urška.
It's possible to create a human zebra by using waves of a